Welcome back. This is the Paula Gordon Show. It is my great pleasure to be with Joy Barry and Rafe Esquith. We're talking about education with a small e. The notion in America that somehow testing is the be-all and end-all has been shown unequivocally to be a huge mistake, a terrible distraction, and yet you talk about reinforcing what you call the culture of mediocrity and enriching the publishers and the test givers. What?
Here's the problem. The reality is our kids are going to take tests. That's a fact.
I took tests.
We all have to take tests. And by the way, I have no problem giving a test to a child. If I've taught him multiplication, I want to assess, does he have the skill? But it's just a test. It's just a thermometer. And I make the kids actually say to me, what's going to happen if you do poorly? You know what's going to happen? It means I have to show you how to do it again. The sun's going to come up. I still love you. You're still a great kid. This is not your life on the line, which it has become in many classrooms. Because we're going to take tests, I do train my children how to attack tests, the thinking behind a test, how they put together trapped answers and often wrong answers that commonly come into a kid's head are going to be on that test. And the kids become detectives. They start to look at the test and have fun with it, going, oh, I know why they put that there. They want me to go there. And it becomes fun. But the danger that you have said, and this is what I call the lost in translation syndrome, is I've had charter schools come to my class and say, oh, we're going to be like Rafe. And they turn their schools into these Dickensian prisons and then hold up their test scores and go like, we're a great school, we're at 95. Well, I got to tell you, I've met the kids in these schools. These kids are sad, they're scared, and most important of all, when they go into the world, they can't function.
Which is not Rafe's kids.
No, and then when they say, hey, we're like Rafe, I just, it's, talk about hair on fire, it's like pulling your hair out.
Why do they say that? What is it they think that they're doing that they clearly have missed the mark?
They're looking for the shortcut. You know what? I think Joy would agree. Getting a kid's math score up isn't that hard. If you spend some more time with him and give him some tutoring, his score will go up. But to teach a kid to be honorable and decent in a world that is often not honorable and not decent, those are the things that I'm obsessed with. And I think the fact that I take some of the pressure off of testing is one of the reasons my students do so well, because they're not scared when they're taking the tests.
Actually, you are teaching the principles, the basic principles of understanding what it's all about. Parents pay for youngsters to get coaching, to pass tests, to get higher scores on tests. But that does nothing for the whole child, nothing for the full ability or the transferability of the information that they have gained. And unfortunately, we're looking at a national picture where much of this has come down from the national government. And so many schools feel, and many parents feel, that if we don't reach a certain level in scoring, that unfortunately we have failed.
Because they're all buying into that. They take something that's basically false and then build a whole building on that foundation where everything is not true.
Well, and I have heard it said, no child left behind in public school. Because if the kid doesn't match the test that is set by somebody making a profit on the test,
let us add...
then somehow they should be thrown away. They should be put in the ash can rather than having, and probably sent to a private school that is run for profit, by the way, to so focus on a false premise, as you say, that then reinforces all of the kinds of things that you must be inculcating. Isn't that a pretty word?
It's fantastic.
In kids to be whole people. That, I try not to be a Kabbalist. I try not to be a conspiracy theorist. But that looks real ugly to me and sinister.
Well, you've already pointed out money is a huge factor here. It's people making money, playing on the fears of people and the fears of testing. And you mentioned no child left behind. My friends and I have an expression that no child left behind really means that every child gets left behind. What happens is, Joy said this earlier, let's say you have a kid who's brilliant. Under no child left behind, that kid has to sit in class waiting for other kids to catch up to him. what happens is children are pulled along who are not ready to be pulled along because there's a plan that says there's a certain pace, and other kids have to wait. And the joke I tell my children all the time, I'm sorry to say this, but we're not all the same. If you've ever seen Tiger Woods play golf and me play golf, we're not the same. He's better than I am. He shouldn't have to go to the same swing clinic that I go to. He shouldn't be, no, it's ridiculous. It doesn't mean I don't get to play golf. But when the United States wants to pick their team, they're going to pick Tiger. They're not going to pick me. He's better. And I don't resent him for it. I admire him for it. He's amazing. And so why can't, when we have an amazing child, I've actually had even school librarians say to me, you can't read that book with fifth graders. It's an eighth grade book. Well, why? Because some list says that it's an eighth grade book? If they're doing Shakespeare or Twain or Dickens or reading Malcolm X, we read Malcolm X in my class, and I had a teacher threaten to physically assault me. He actually was willing to pay $100 for me to take down a picture of Malcolm X from my room.
Because?
Because, you know, he's a thug. And I tried to explain to the teacher, it's not that I agree with everything Malcolm X said, but he's an important voice in America. I want my children to hear all the voices, from the left, from the right, from the center. That's what a classroom should be.
That's what democracy should be.
So you should know that the funny thing about it is, I took his $100. I took the picture down. I instead bought copies with the money of Catcher in the Rye. And then he got upset with me because I put up a picture of Che Guevara.
How much was that worth?
That's what I asked him. You got to have a little humor when you deal with these people.
Well, and you do that. And humor, it seems to me, Joy and I have known each other for a good number of years now. And if you can't laugh at the adversities in the world, isn't that part of what the classroom has to do?
It's a whole picture.
Well, she was a principal. I mean, you've got to laugh. I mean,
well, talk about this principal role. I mean, there was a time when that would be the principal, the P-A-L. I remember how to spell principal, the pal.
The pal, right?
Well, when did that change? Why are we not having people who are the master teacher, the pal, the person you can go to?
Well, that's just it, Rafe. Those, very often, people move up for various reasons. For me, it was moving up because I thought that there would be more opportunity for me to have an influence. And to a great degree, there was that opportunity, and we used it. What we are expecting, Rafe and I are expecting from principals or administration, would be the kind of leadership that would nurture what he's doing in the classroom and help to make it transferable to the rest of the district, to others, so that others might benefit from it.
Sadly for my principal, I work for Great Lady. I'll give you an example of what leadership can do. You don't know this about me, but we have this year-round situation. And for 4 months of the year, I lose my classroom. So because we have to share it, because there's so many kids in the school.
Mm-hmm.
So for 12 years, because my class wanted to come during vacations, for 4 months of the year, we would sit on the cement outside of my room, even in rain, for 12 hours a day studying. When this woman took over my school, she said, this is ridiculous. Rafe gets his own room. And when other teachers complained, she said, you know what? If you will come in every day to teach for free, and you will work Saturdays, and you will get the results that Rafe gets, you can have your own room too. I waited 12 years for a leader to say that. But the problem is she has pressure from above also.
Mm-hmm.
She has people telling her it has to be this way. So, and she has a lot of teachers, and it's always, I think Joy would agree, the worst teachers, the mediocre teachers, who give her grief with contracts and say, you can't do this to us, you can't ask us to work evenings, you can't ask us to go to extra parent conferences. So she is dealing with so many balls up in the air that I'm just lucky that she supports me.
And stays out of the way.
And stays out of the way, and then when she has teachers who are not measuring up, there are too many hoops that the principal will have to go through in order to have that teacher removed.
We have many challenges in all of this. When we're talking about this, we haven't explicitly talked about the parental role. Parents are so much a part of this picture, and with the kids you're dealing with in central Los Angeles, a lot of those folks are working 3 and 4 jobs to put food on the table. And even if you're talking about the best private school in the nation, those kids are also parentally bereft much of the time because mom is putting in 18 hours as a lawyer and dad's off whatever. So the notion of kids needing parents in this process. You're not trying to replace the parents.
No, I'm not, and I will tell you a great secret. People often think, gee, Rafe, you must have no parental support because you're in a poor area. I have great parental support.
Yes.
It's a myth, isn't it?
Yes.
And these parents, yes, my parents don't speak English. Yes, they may not know the American system. They care deeply about their children. And the secret, everybody has a different philosophy. A lot of people, they go make a lot of home visits and talk to the parents. My secret was that I have kids going home every day excited about school. I have kids that for the first time ever wake up at 5 in the morning without their parents waking them up, who were starting to make their beds and clean their rooms. And the parents, what drug are you taking? The parents are so excited to see their kids excited that that's how I build up the trust with them. So when I travel around the country, I tell the parents, hey, guys, we're leaving. They say, bye, Rafe. There's no doubt that they know their kids will be well taken care of.
And that the kids will be safe. You make a big deal when you're talking about the trips you take. And, of course, being out is so important. The safety issue must be very big, especially, and both of you have all kinds of experience in big city schools. The safety issue is not trivial.
Well, the funny thing is, in our school, when the kids are leaving, they're usually much safer than they are in the neighborhood. So leaving the city is usually a good thing.
We're going to be back in just a moment with a number of issues. Joy Berry, Rafe Esquith, I, Paula Gordon, we're all going to be back in just a moment. Please join us when we return.